Folks, you know, it's been a long time since Lorraine Cornish has been in our studio, much too long. And as he's a wonderful human being and an incredible artist, makes all kinds of statements about our lives, about his life, about the world we live in. His home, just looking at it, is a work of art. And he's brought us a new one. If you were at Artscape, you may have seen it. If you walk past that old, what they call a substation that hasn't been had a policeman in it for the last how many years at Landvale and Charles, by the parking lot, there's going to be some kind of building soon near the Charles Theater. He's created a design there that's amazing. And Lauren, good to see you. Welcome.
Good to see you, Mark. Good to see you. It's funny what you said. It hasn't had a police in it for years. I got a comment from a lady who gets out of her car and she just shakes her head when she walks by the Cobon. She says, for years, there's nobody in there.
Nobody in there.
No, I'm supposed to feel safe. There's nobody around.
They got a blue light flashing that doesn't do anything.
Good to see you, Mark.
Good to see you too, man. Really good to see you.
Thank you.
I mean, the last time I remember reading about the work you were doing was when you hung this art, the piece you did outside your home.
Yes.
From the tree outside your front door, where you hung these black babies that you had painted and created from a tree.
Yes.
Because of the murder of
Walter Scott.
Excuse me. Walter Scott by the South Carolina police.
Yes. That was, I woke up in the middle of the night. Mark, I woke up literally at 2:30 in the morning in the middle of the night, maybe 3 days or 2 days after Walter was killed, and a cold panic, knowing that I wanted to do something about this, but I didn't know what to do. I woke up in a cold sweat, shaking. I posted it on Facebook about 2:30 in the morning. I said that I just can't go back to my art gallery selling art and not do anything. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know how I was going to approach it, but I knew I wanted to do something. And a lot of people Facebooked me and mentioned things. Said, well, maybe you can do something with your art. And that's what came about, these dolls hanging from the tree.
You've covered lots of different ideas in your work over the years.
Yes, I have.
But this and the Cobon, this incredible tile piece you did with the signs about the police and hope all around them.
Yes, yes. There's Ben Stone, who's the director of the North Station Arts
yes,
District, sent
right.
me an email and said, "Lauren, can you do something in response to the social challenges of the police department here in Baltimore with a police station, you know, a police cobon?" And my immediate reaction was, "Oh, hell no!" I didn't say that to Ben, you know, but in my spirit, that's what I felt. And then I thought, well, maybe I can cover the whole police station in a jail. And then that was my initial. But then I thought, but this is what I thought later on. After a week, I thought about it, and so I decided not to do anything. And God woke me up in the middle of the night, Mark, and I felt that Baltimore didn't need any more pain. It didn't need a fight. It didn't need an argument. It didn't need a blame. It didn't need a point of a finger. And in dang sure, it didn't need any more hurt. What it needed was hope. And so I thought, I sent him an email and said, yes, I will do it. And this hopeful message came about with this police station. Colors, bright colors, using the word police at the top, and all these messages that go around the side of it. It reads on each side, one side it reads, "Police, build, trust, please." The front side of it reads, "Police, give hope, please." The other side reads, "Police, respect life, please." And then the rear side of it reads, "Police, give honor all, please." And the word "please," Mark, when you say the word "please" to someone, it kind of penetrates through some layers. If a child looks up at you, if you've said no a million times, but they look at you with those eyes and says, "Please, Daddy, can I go?" Something inside of you kind of breaks down those barriers of all those thoughts. And you go, well, okay, but be back by such and such date. And so I figured if I could use the word "please," there's still penetrating layers that we have to get through, but somehow "please" kind of weaves its way through a lot more easier than hammer and nail. I think it.
No, go ahead, man.
I think it goes to the heart, and I think it brings out the heart of the person doing the action. I think it touches beyond what's right or wrong, but it reaches to the empathetic side of an individual, of a human. You know, because we've all been in, hopefully all of us have been in a situation where we may have had to say please. Even if you have to say please to your own children.
Right.
Please be in by 10. Please don't do that.
So what is it? So, I know that I watched you talk about Scott's murder and why you hung those black dolls that you created from the tree to make a very powerful and painful thing to watch, to look at that tree. It was very hard to look at.
Yes.
I drove past your house and just sat there and got out and just looked. I mean, I went to your door, but you weren't home, so I just sat out there and just was watching and looking and watching people walk by and just stopping and staring and thinking about these things. But this was different, what you created here, because of the glass, the reflections at night, the signs of please and hope and can we change this. So, I mean, but it, to me, those two works that you've done were almost kind of screaming for something deep inside you, but screaming out to the world through your art in two very different ways.
Wow, Mark. I felt that. I think so. It's funny because I think it comes from the same place. I think those two works of art comes from the same place of hurt, disappointment, needing to bring about change, except it's two completely different approaches, but maybe not. The dolls talked about how black men were lynched and how people walked away scot-free. And so I wanted to compare that, how black men and other men, let's just say men in general, if not even putting a race on it, that men and women were murdered by the police and the police just walked away. So the comparison of lynching in both categories, in both times, I wanted to compare that. Now, here we are with Charles and Lanvale is one of the most, is a popular corner.
Yeah. Yep,
I mean,
yep.
If you live in Baltimore, you probably have come up Charles and Lanvale at least once in your lifetime.
Right.
Let's just say that. The Chesapeake restaurant's on the corner. The Charles Street Theater is right there. We have that 200, 300-foot man-lady statue there at Penn Station.
Whether you like it or not, it's there.
Yes. All right, let's just set the record straight. I absolutely love it.
You love it?
Oh, my gosh.
We'll talk about that another day, though. I want to hear about this. Forget.
So people coming into Penn Station, walk around that spot. You know, it's a very, very popular corner. And I think it's setting. I think it's, Mark, I cannot believe the joy on people's faces when they walk by that booth now. The community that lives there and the community at large, but the community who sees it every day goes, oh, my gosh, thank you. Thank you so much for turning an eyesore into something positive, something beautiful, something with a wonderful and warm message. People get out of their cars in the morning and are uplifted by the colors, you know, the colors of hope. Everyone who lives in the neighborhood, black, white, you name it, homeless, no place to go. I mean, it was such a remarkable experience to actually be there every day and doing something to a work of art that's set on that corner, waiting to be a work of art. Let's just say that.
And it was. And I think what you've done is very powerful. I'd be very curious to see how various people in government and law enforcement think about the plea you're making to them.
That's interesting. I did have a couple of police drive by and say, man, that's incredible. Whether they read the messages on it, I'm not particularly sure. But from the outlooks alone, it draws people to stop and look at it. We've had a lot of people down for Artscape. A lot of police walked and passed by it. I didn't get any. I think they were just busy working. That's what it was. But I didn't get any. I didn't get any remarks from police in uniform. You know, a lot of people are police when they're out of uniform. They say something. You don't know whether they're police or not.
You don't know who they are.
You know, but from the most part, from the most part, so many people are appreciative of the word please and the positive messages on it. And I think coming from a standpoint of not anger, not actually, you know, because Mark, we have marched, we have demanded, We have put our foot down. We have wrote letters, you know, schools, presidents of organizations, community organizations, leaders all over, not just in Baltimore, but all over the country have protested against this treatment of people in general, black, whites, Hispanics, you know, by the police department. And how it has gotten to this, how it has grown into this type of situation, you know, from here's another thing. I wanted to bring back officer friendly. Mm. Mark, when I was growing up, officer friendly was the police was officer friendly to me. I had no fear of them. I welcomed them. I was like, there's a police officer. Wow. Look, he's on the horse. Wow. I wonder if he'll let me run his siren. Wow. Look at the police officer. There was no fear. In fact, there was joy. There was joy. So I wanted to make that booth a place of joy, a place of officer friendly again. Because when police actually sat in that booth, it was a community thing. They were right involved with the community. They were on the same level, same streets, same handshake. They were right there. Hey, how you doing, Mr. Jones? They probably knew people's names getting back and forth every day to Penn Station.
Right. I mean, that, to me, that with the art you created out of that kiosk, not kabon.
Kabon,
right, the Japanese word. The kabon, in my mind, they should have those kabons all over the city, in people's neighborhoods, everywhere. I don't care what the neighborhood is, whether it's a poor working-class black neighborhood or a rich, mostly white neighborhood. Whatever that neighborhood is, they should have those in every neighborhood where police work out of and know the people and sit and talk. It might end some of the violence against the people.
Let me tell you something. Just recently, Mark, I've noticed the action, and I don't know how this has gone in this direction, but I've noticed the action of some of the police in our city. And, Mark, I must say that I have to give them a thumbs up in the last two situations that I saw. I saw one lady blatantly just go down a one-way street, just, and the police just happened to be there. He pulled up. He got out of his car. He didn't fuss. He didn't cuss at the lady. He wasn't angry. He didn't shout. He simply went up to the window, says, "Ma'am, you're going down a one-way street. Please turn your car around." And he got back in his car, and she turned her car around and pulled off. I was speeding out of the country, flying to Home Depot the other night, going up downtown, I forget, Lombard Street, trying to get from Fells Point to Home Depot before 10. Flying, I knew I was speeding. Police pulled me over. It was the most pleasant experience. I was afraid. I didn't know what was. I thought he was going to jump me, take me, get on my car, be arrested. He gave me a warning. You know, and he was so polite. He said, "Do you know why I pulled you over?" I said, "Yes, officer, I was speeding." He says, "Give me your driver's license registration." You know, I fumbled for it. I looked for it. I gave it to him. Another officer came up and asked me, you know, about where I was coming from. I told him I was coming from Fells Point, where I lived. He says, "What's the address?" I said, 1622 Fells. And then we had a little conversation. The other police came back and said, "Mr. Cornish, we're just going to give you a warning. Just slow down." And it was the most pleasant experience. And I was like, wow, perhaps change is in the air. Perhaps there have been talks in the police station. You know, perhaps we've been heard. You know, I'm just saying. I don't know about the other 100 incidences or the 100 police people that have stopped. But in the last two that I've seen, I was pleasantly pleased with the way I was treated.
Because I mean, I can see in the work you've done, and I was watching an interview that you did around the dolls you put outside the house. It almost was if you, as an artist, someone who has interacted a lot with the white world in your art,
yes.
Right? I mean,
exactly.
That have gone in and out, kind of the halls of powerful and wealthy people, a lot with your art.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Being celebrated for the work you do. But then all of a sudden with Mr. Scott and with other things that have happened in our society, that even with all that,
yes,
what you felt at these moments, even though you've been feeling this good stuff lately and you put this very positive, beautiful piece up at the Kabon, it's like, well, all that's real for me, but I'm also a black man who knows what happens if I get stopped, right?
Exactly. You know, and quite frankly, I'm still afraid. you know, I'm still very much afraid what's the possibility of what could happen. You know, I've been stopped by the police a lot of times. I mean, I remember one time tooting at a police because he stopped on Pennsylvania Avenue to talk to a lady, and they were just sitting back and forth laughing and smiling and, you know, cracking it up, like, you know, and it was like 10 minutes, you know, and I couldn't get around them so I tooted my horn at this guy. This guy, I probably should not have tooted my horn. This guy yanked me pretty much out of my car with two other police officers a block later and just pretty much cussed me out and said, "Who the hell you think you know who I am?" He wrote me 3 tickets, you know, and it was a horrible experience, just a horrible experience. So I showed up in court. They didn't show up. But, you know, I think hopefully things will get better. You know, hopefully that's all we can do, Mark, is hope that things will get better.
So I wonder in all this, as an artist, somebody who's been really, I mean, you have been hugely successful in your work.
Mm-hmm.
And been noted by that. And I think that's a very powerful and beautiful thing, and you deserve it and deserve the accolades you've gotten for the work you've done in this community and around. So what is it say to you about the power of art that comes through you and what you can say to the rest of us?
Here's the thing. When I was in my bed that morning at 2:30 in the morning, this is it. This is it. God woke me. I swear he woke me up, Mark, 2:30 in the morning, and I didn't know what to do. And I thought that this little thing with the dolls was a little thing. Because it was all that I could do. I wanted to get 6-foot people, dummies or something, and hang them from the trees, but I couldn't do it quick enough. So I was thinking, okay, dolls. I went all around the city buying dolls and painting them. And I thought it was a little thing. And that thing went all across the United States, and it reached other countries. Just from that one little thing. And what that told me, Mark, was if each individual does that one little thing, in response to a negative problem, in response to a fight, or in response to an effort to try to change, you never know what that one little thing will do, what that one little message of hope will bring about change. You know, if you just stand up on a soapbox somewhere and start speaking what you need to speak about, if you do the thing yourself, instead of waiting for other people to step in and try to change things, you never know what type of power is in that moment of thought or that moment that God has given you to be creative in an effort. I never knew that those dolls would stretch as far as it did. And Mark, I never knew.
And now you have this piece we've been talking about that was just put up on an old police substation. Of this reflective glass, this colored glass, there's these statements to the police. Please give hope. Please, police build trust. Please, police honor all. Please, police respect life. Please. Mm-hmm. And it's a very different message. And you're just kind of pleading for a new world here.
Yeah, I am. And the thing about it is, I just, you know, I didn't want anger anymore. I just didn't. I don't know, Mark. I don't know where my anger has gone. But I just wanted to see some type of joy, some type of. Here it is. I think that our message has been heard by all people. You know, it's good that one race of people will fight, but when all races hear and agree with that one race's plead for change. Then change can begin to take place. I did a show called In Each Other's Shoes that talked about the struggles of blacks and Jews.
I remember that show. We did a program together about that. Yes, I remember.
Yes. Yep. And it's such a powerful thing when races are combined to bring about change. And I think with this Koban being there, it touches all races. It touches whites, blacks, Jews, Hispanics. It touches everybody. And I think it'll be a powerful force on that corner.
Well, I want to encourage everybody to take a walk down the Landvale in Charles or stop by there with your car and allow yourself to be reflected and to reflect upon this piece that was put up. And you'll see literally what I mean when you see it. And we'll be attaching on our website at centershow.org pictures of it so you can see it yourself. But you would do justice to yourself and your to see what Lauren Cornish has brought us. Lauren, great to see you again in the studio.
Good to
see
you
too, Mark. Thank you so much for stopping
by. Thank you.
Thanks for everything you bring us.
You're welcome.
You're listening to The Mark Steiner Show on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. And on our way to break, we'll hear Mr. Tambourine Man as performed by the Byrds, which hit number one on this day in 1965.